Please open with me to Psalm 103, please. Psalm 103. Such a beautiful day outside, especially for January. Thank you so much to everyone who came to Voices in the Ville yesterday. Bruce and Diane, Grayson, thank y'all so much for all the work you did. Am I not on, Grayson? It made me up a little. Thank you. So thank you to everyone who came yesterday. Thank y'all for organizing it. I'll admit, the singing was wonderful, but it was also just so encouraging to see how many people here worked together, helped out, spent time together. It was a wonderful day. Appreciate everyone who came, especially those who served. And it's a good day to be worshiping our God. This is, of course, the first real Sunday of 2019. I'm actually not going to introduce our theme for this year, which is in the bulletin, Growing in Grace. I'm going to do that this evening. But what I would like to do this morning is try to really just get back to the very basics of the Bible this morning. There is nothing more foundational, no principle more important, no doctrinal more foundational than that of God. When we talk of the first principles, when we talk of the basic doctrines, when we talk about the elements of Christianity, at its very core, it must be God. But I think we understand coming to know God and coming to seek even understanding of God is very different from coming to know a person. My question this morning is simple but difficult. How do we come to know God? How do we come to know God? Obviously, you can come to know someone through conversation, through shared interaction, through experiences, through connections, but that's not how we know God. God has never personally spoken to me. God has never sent a personal message to me, and I don't think I have had a face-to-face conversation with God in my life. Yes, I've spoken to Him in prayer, and yes, He has spoken to me in the Scriptures, but how do we come to know God? To answer this question, I want to go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is written by a man after God's own heart, David himself. We're not going to read the entirety of this psalm, but I do want to read the first few verses together. Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the people of Israel. We'll just stop there. You'll notice what David has done, and then what he'll proceed to do in the rest of the psalm is give a praise to God. Psalm 103 is an exemplar of a psalm of praise. As you look especially at verse 2 down through verse 5, what he's doing is recounting here the forgiveness, the healing, the redemption, the mercy, the goodness that God has given. And indeed, David, who was a man after God's own heart, knew that God was worth praising. David knew God about as well as any person that has ever walked this earth. How did David know God so well? Well, I think if you look down to verse 7, we're going to understand even how David came to know God. Begin in verse 6 with me. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. It's a common theme in David's Psalms. Verse 7. God made known His ways to Moses and His works or acts to the people of Israel. Here, David provides a binary way in which we come to know God. His ways and His works. Now, for some of you who have been in specific home studies with me before, I've talked about this concept before. And for some, this will be review. For some, this is new. But regardless of the fact, we have to understand, knowing that God exists is not sufficient for a Christian. Yes, I believe Romans 1:20 completely, that God's existence is clearly perceived from the things that are made. I think that the intricacy of nature, the design of this universe, the very existence of time, all prove that God does exist. But knowing that he exists is not enough. We must come to believe not only he exists, but that the right God exists. We must come to know the one true living God. We must know who he is. How can we come to know him? Well, like David, who learned from Moses, we need to know the ways and the works of God. I want to begin with the second one first. What does it mean to come to know the works of God? Well, if you'll look particularly at verse 7, this is what David says. God made known his works or his acts to the people of Israel. God made known his works to the people of Israel. Well, what is David referencing in the history of Israel? I think particularly in the context, if you continue down further, this is what it really means. He's talking about the generation of those that came out of the Red Sea. Go back with me to Exodus chapter 34, please. Exodus chapter 34. Look at Exodus chapter 34, verse 10. This is when Israel is at Sinai. So if you're not familiar with the story, allow me to tell it to you briefly. God made a promise with a man many years ago, 2000 BC, Abraham. And he promised Abraham, out of your seed, out of your nation, I will make my nation. God then allows Abraham's children to go into Egypt for about 400 years. And as they are there, they become slaves. God then, by the might of his hand, leads this nation out of Egyptian slavery through the Red Sea and brings them to Sinai. As this nation of over 1 million people is at Sinai, notice what God says. Behold, I am making a covenant. Before all your people, I will do marvels, such as has not been created in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among whom are you shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do for you. What did God say? God said that he would do amazing works. And if you go over to Psalm 78, here the psalmist recounts in intricate detail many of the works of God. We could spend much time going through Exodus this morning and understanding all that God did. But here in Psalm 78, Asaph, the psalmist, is going to provide concise poetic recount of what God did. Look at Psalm 78, verse 11. Psalm 78, verse 11. They forgot his works and the wonders that he has shown them. In the sight of their fathers, he performed wonders. And in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan, he divided the sea and let them pass through it and made the water stand like a heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud and all the night with fiery light. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. Go down to verse 42. They did not remember his power or the day he redeemed them from the foe when he performed his signs in Egypt and his marvels in the fields of Zoan. He turned their river to blood so that they could not drink of their streams. He sent among them swarms of flies which devoured them and frogs which destroyed them. He gave their crops to the destroying locusts and their fruit of their labor to their locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamores with frost. Go down to verse 54. He brought them into his holy land, to the mountain which is his right hand, his wood. He drove out nations before them. He apportioned them for a possession and settled the tribes in Israel in their tents. Indeed, in the generation of the Israelites who came out of the Exodus, God made his works clearly known. And understand this with me. No man nor woman was present when God made the world. Yes, God did great works and wonders and acts in creation. Out of nothingness, ex nihilo, he created all that is seen and all that is not seen. But no one was there to witness it. No one was there to see God make the land come from the sea. No one was there to see God make water itself. No one was there to see God make the birds and the fish and the animals and even mankind himself. No one ever witnessed it. But in the generation of the Israelites, mankind witnessed God's wonder. I think we take it for granted at times that God was just all throughout biblical history doing miracles and signs and wonders. And I've made this point many times before, but allow me to make it again. It is the vast minority of biblical history where God does supernatural wonders. It's only during times of great spiritual significance. For example, in the preaching of Elijah, when he preached, repent. In the preaching of John the Baptist and Jesus, God incarnate. But overall, God does not do supernatural wonders throughout history. Yes, he did supernatural wonders in creation. But in the generation of the Israelites who came out of the Red Sea, they saw the plagues. They saw the cloud. They saw the water separated. They saw the breath of God breathed on them. They saw God's works. And I would recommend for us as well, if we are to know God like David did, if we are to know God like Moses did, we must begin by knowing the works of God. And for those of us who were privileged enough to grow up in families that took us to church, we were privileged to know the works of God from a very young age. And Bible teachers, don't take it for granted the importance of the works of God that you teach even this very morning. Coming to know what God has done, coming to know all that he has done throughout human history demonstrates his might, his character, his very being. So indeed, for us to know God, we must begin by knowing what he has done, by knowing his very works. But that's not enough. Look at verse 32 of the psalm with me. In spite of all this, they still sinned. Despite his wonders, they did not believe. Seeing God's works is not enough. Knowing what he has done is not sufficient. Just as our understanding of God cannot simply end with the fact God exists, our understanding of God cannot be complete with God has done great things. Because consider, even the Israelites who saw the water turn to blood, who saw the locust, who saw the frogs, who saw the Red Sea departed, who saw the very glory of God come down and encompass Sinai. This generation that with their own eyes saw the works of God still did not believe. And they sinned. What was Israel missing that Moses knew? What did Israel not understand that David realized? Well, I think the psalm tells us quite clearly. Israel knew what God did, but they did not know who he is. There's a vast difference between knowing what someone does and who someone is. And that then takes us then to the very ways of God. Knowing what God does is his works. Knowing who God is his ways. And indeed, as you go, look back in Psalm 103, notice verse 7. Psalm 103, notice verse 7. God made known his ways to Moses. God made known his ways to Moses. While Israel with their own eyes saw what God did, Moses with his own heart knew who God was. Moses knew the ways of God. Well, to understand, I think, what David is talking about, let's read this story together. Go back with me to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33 is, I think, what David has in mind as he wrote Psalm 103. Exodus chapter 33. Understand by this point, Moses has already seen the Red Sea. Moses has already talked to the burning bush. Moses has already done signs in front of Pharaoh. But Moses still wants to know God better. And he is going to make a request of God to know his ways. Look with me, Exodus 33, verse 12. Exodus 33, verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, And you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too, this nation is your people. And God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And Moses said, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and this people? Is it not in going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of this earth? Notice Moses' request. God, show me your ways. Now, I don't understand fully what Moses' request meant. Whether he had some tainted view of God based upon his Egyptian background, I don't know. But Moses is making the request, God, show me your ways. Verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please show me your glory. God said, I will make my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, Yahweh. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man can see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Do you notice what Moses is told by God? You will see my glory. You, verse 17, will see my favor. You, verse 19, will see my goodness, my graciousness, and my mercy. Again, this is a story that I don't have clear idea exactly how it worked. What physically passed before Moses, I don't know. But I am certain when Moses understood and knew God's ways, he saw God's goodness, his graciousness, and his mercy. And that is why Exodus 34, verse 6, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty? Visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Moses knew God's very ways. He knew his character. He knew his graciousness. He knew who God was. And brethren, I ask you, do you know God's ways? Do you, like David, like Moses, know not only what God has done, but who he is? I think it will take an eternity for us to fully have any hope of understanding who God is. But in this life, it is our mission and our privilege to come to know our Creator, to come to know who he is. And I have seen even my own life, even over the last 10, 15 years, how my understanding of God's mercy and his grace and his love has grown. Where yes, I must recognize God's justice, but must have it tempered by his grace. Far too many see God as all grace, no justice, or all justice, no grace. Our God is both. And expounding on that would take far too much time this morning. But it is a lifelong quest that we must make to know the ways of God. So indeed, Moses knew God's ways. And that is why, as you go over to Psalm 86... we are going to find a prayer, a praise that gives up to God. Praise for who he is. Praise for what he has done. Praise for his very ways. Look at Psalm 86. Begin with me in verse 8. Psalm 86, verse 8. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord. nor are there any works like yours. All the nations have come to you, and they will worship before you, O Lord, and glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. What does David pray? God, I know your works, but teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. So, brethren, who is God? Yes, he's creator of the universe, but he's far more than that. We must know his ways. What made Moses different from the Israelites was not that with his eyes he saw what God did, but with his heart and his spirit, he knew who God is. So if I may make one final point before we close, our ways must be God's ways. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5. Y'all know from the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about God's great mystery. And beginning in chapter 4, he begins the so-called more practical section of the book. But he says in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. As I come to know God's justice, I should be just. As I come to know God's holiness, I should be holy. As I come to know God's mercy, I should be merciful. As I come to know God's grace, I should be gracious. As I come to know God's love, I should be loving. Our ways must be God's ways. So knowing God is far different from knowing a person. Knowing God is far different from making a human friend. But how do we know God? Well, by recognizing his works, we come to understand and then walk in his way. If you will, get out your songbooks, please. Well, this is probably about as close to Dom Truex as I'll ever sound this morning. But I appreciate so much y'all listening to God's word this morning. There's no greater quest in life than coming to know God. Not just knowing his works, not just knowing his laws, but knowing God. That is our quest, our mission, our privilege to come to know our God. And this year, we are going to, in particular as a congregation, talk about growing in grace. There's so many opportunities that we are going to make to come to understand God's grace. I'm going to begin this evening to talk about it a bit more. But hopefully by studying his spirit in more detail, we'll see his grace. By coming to know Jesus more, we'll see his grace. By knowing the love of the Father, we'll know his grace. And then as we know the ways of his grace, that will take our very lives and transform us to his image, that we may be gracious as he is gracious. If you're still lost in sin, there's good news. You have a God that didn't just make you, but you have a God who loves you. A God who loves you so much that he's given his only son for your sin, that if you'll come to him in obedient saving faith, he'll forgive you, and you can be his child. If anyone needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, come forward while we stand and sing.